Hey, this is Pastor Spencer with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from a Sunday morning.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, and Merry Christmas. You guys are fired up. This is awesome. By God's good grace, we're going to have a Bible study together for the next half hour or so. It'll be a little bit shorter than usual because of all the singing, and that's okay. The passage that I chose today is from Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, we can get you one. Come see me afterwards. We'll give you a Bible. But if you don't have it with you today, pull out your bulletin. It'll be there. Or if you're like me, I like to just read along in the Bible. The passage we're looking at is from Luke chapter 1. And we're in church, so show of hands. How many people are actually reading the Advent devotional that we gave all of you? Close to half, maybe 40%. Up sound booth, that makes it 42%. So I noticed in reading it, there's 5 days are devoted to the first half of Luke chapter 1, and there's 4 days devoted to the second half of Luke chapter 1, but verses 39 to 45, there's nothing. So I took that from the Lord as what we should look at today. So today we're going to look at verses 39 to 45. And we're going to look at the life of Mary. The sermon title is simply Mary. And to be honest with you, I've never really studied her life very well. And I thought a couple things. Maybe if truth were known and you're here today, things aren't great for you. Maybe Christmas season isn't joyful for you this year. Maybe circumstances aren't lining up the way you'd like them to. Maybe your feelings aren't matching up with December 15th, 9 days before Christmas. Maybe 2024 has been a hard year for you. With 300 people in the room, I would argue that maybe 200 of the 300 of us might be in a hard spot or things aren't the way we'd like right now. And this message is for you on the life of Mary. I wrote a couple things down. I'll just read them to you. Throughout Scripture, we see in this chapter alone, I put it in dark print if you have your bulletin in front of you, Mary is said to be O favored one. Verse 30, you have found favor with God. Verse 42, blessed are you among women. And then verse 45, blessed is she who believes. So 2 times the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Mary is favored by God. And 2 times it says Mary is blessed. Twice she's told this by an angel and twice she's told this by Elizabeth. Mary truly is one of the most blessed women on earth. But if truth were known, her life didn't look like it was blessed, and her life didn't look like it was favored by God. And we're going to look at that this morning. So this message is for, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, this isn't from last week. Remember, Darren talked about people that are kind of Christians but aren't really Christian yet, and they're kind of the foolish versions. We're not talking about them. We're talking about people who you can look to a point in your life where you said, Jesus, I'm done following you, following my way on the broad road. I want to follow you on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. If you're a Christian here today, if you've asked Jesus to save you and the Holy Spirit's come in you, made you a new creation, and old things are starting to go and new things are starting to come, this message is for you. If you haven't made that declaration of faith and you haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be this day. But if you are here, and I trust the majority of us have made that decision to follow Jesus, this message is for you. Maybe you are walking with Jesus, and life and circumstances and your feelings aren't lining up to it. This message is for you today. So, as a little backdrop of what we're looking at, God's been silent for 400 years. There's no evidence of God speaking to people, no miracles, nothing's gone on in Israel for 400 years. And then this angel Gabriel shows up, and things start to happen. So I've asked my friend Eric Neidefer. Eric Neidefer is one of the most godly men I know. He reads at our men's Tuesday night study every week, and there's something to be said about the public reading of Scripture. So instead of me reading the Scripture, I'm going to ask a professional to read. So that was quite a walk up, too. You walked right in front. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray. Eric's going to read to you the passage that's in front of you. He's going to read 26 to 38, and that's going to just be our backdrop. And then we're going to just focus on, like I said at the front end, verses 39 to 45. But before we do all that, will you pray with me?
Lord, I want to pray for a couple things. I want to pray for that little girl who kind of went down a little bit. I pray for Lauren. I thank you, Lord, talking to her mom and dad, and they said that she's okay. I thank you, Lord, for all the response people that helped her out. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, now that it sounds like if she's okay, the biggest issue is probably embarrassment. I just pray, Lord, that you attend to her today. I pray that today may have started out as a horrible day going down, but Lord, it would turn out to be one of the best days of her life. So Lord, with all the people in this room, we all just pray for little Lauren. Just pray, Lord, that you would be merciful with her. Lord, I pray for our time now. I pray, Lord, it would be profitable. And I pray, Lord, that we would see that following you is glorious, but it is a narrow road. And I just pray, Lord, you would speak through me and you speak through the public reading of your word now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Thanks, Eric. Well, let's do this together. Let's look at verses 39 through 45. We saw in the previous passage that the angel visits Mary and tells her this incredible news, and Mary says, "I'm all in. Whatever you got for me, Lord, I'm down. I'm a debtor. You chose me. I'll do whatever you say." Thrilling, thrilling response. And now verse 39, what happens right after that visit from the angel? And it says in verse 39 and 40, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." So a little backdrop, Joseph has not yet been filled in on the miracle. He doesn't know what's going on. Mary says she's going to be impregnated, and she doesn't know how that can happen, but she says, "I'm willing to go with it." And she makes an approximately 80-mile journey on foot, by herself most likely. And I thought, why would she travel so far to go see Elizabeth, her relative, this elderly relative? Why would she go? And I thought about this. Joy needs to be shared. Whenever something fantastic happens in my life personally, I just need to go talk to people about it. I need to tell them. I need to have them experience the same joy I'm experiencing. And Mary goes to someone she knows because, remember, the angel told her, "Oh, Elizabeth will believe you because I visited her 6 months ago." So she enters the house of Zechariah, verse 40. Funny side note, Zechariah does not greet her because he was made mute by the angel. Remember that? So here's old man Zechariah. He can't talk. He's been made mute. And she goes and greets Elizabeth. And a couple things there. I think Mary must have thought, she'll believe me. She's an older, godly woman. And I thought the beautiful thing is, imagine what happened when Mary walked in and she sees Elizabeth. Elizabeth, they say, was beyond childbearing years. So let's just go on a whim. She's somewhere between 65 and 85. I'll just say she's 75. And you walk into that room, And here's Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant. What must that have done to Mary's faith? Now, Mary most likely is probably a 15-year-old teenager, a sophomore in high school, and she makes this long trip by herself, and she goes to see Elizabeth, and then she walks in and sees Elizabeth pregnant. Yeah, she was advanced in years, but she was 6 months in, and she was showing. And I thought, what that must have done for Mary's faith. Just must have built it up like the angel was telling the truth. I believed it, but you know how doubt kind of creeps in, and now she gets to see Elizabeth showing. And I'm just going to stop there. Parenthetically, I just thought, we need each other, brothers and sisters. We can't do this Christian life alone. And I'll just take a moment to say, this is happening right now in the ABF I'm in, and it's in the ABF and the other three rooms that are meeting right now, and it's going to be meeting second hour in whatever ABFs you go into. I wrote down what happens in our ABF, and I think it happens in all of them. Young people and old people. Right now, there's teenagers with elderly people fellowshipping together. They're sharing life together. Together, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're praying for each other, and they're becoming friends, just like Elizabeth and Mary, probably 60 years apart. We're tied together through the Holy Spirit. And that's what our church has modeled itself for, is the ABF ministries, the one and other ministries, the opportunities to gather together. See, we're part of a body. It's not individual Christians just doing their own thing. We're together in this. We're going to sink or swim together. So I beg you on Christ's behalf, if you haven't committed to an ABF yet, make it your New Year's resolution and start this January. Pick anyone. I think there's, how many, Darren, 6 or 7? 6, okay. Darren has, what did you say? Go with that. All right. We have 6 ABFs to choose from. There's some brochures in the back, or talk to one of the pastors, but we can get you connected into an ABF where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ together. Just what Elizabeth and Mary were doing. That's why she went. So please don't starve yourself spiritually anymore. Join an ABF. Well, let's get back to the passage, verse 41. Well, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, it says the baby leaped in her womb. Note, it does not say kicked in her womb. I remember when Caleb, Sam, and Christian were in Carol's stomach womb. I would touch it when they were far along and like, oh, you can feel Caleb kick, or oh, there's Sam's little hand punching. But no, this is different. This, it says the baby leapt. This is something supernatural happening, and the Holy Spirit does things here in this passage. And supernatural things happen when we get together in Jesus' name. So the baby leaps in her womb. And this baby, for those of you who might not be as familiar with Scripture, this is John the Baptist. And Luke 1 says that John was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. So the Holy Spirit's already filled John as he's kind of an embryo still inside of Mary. And what I love about this, John's already witnessing to his mom and Mary. He's glorifying God joyfully by leaping in her womb. And it says, and Elizabeth, verse 41, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. Now the party's really getting started. Blessed are you among women, a loud cry, these two women, and she shouts it out. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. A couple things here I just want to point out. Don't get it wrong. She doesn't say, blessed are you above women, Mary. Some false religions put Mary above women. She's not above women. She's blessed among women. And if you're a Christian here today, you're blessed among men and among women, because the same Holy Spirit that was in Mary is the same Holy Spirit that's in you if you are a Christian here today. You're blessed among men and among women. And she says, blessed are you among women through the Holy Spirit. And she says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And now the Holy Spirit's really going to town. And the Holy Spirit reveals to Elizabeth, the fruit of your womb, your son, is our only way to heaven. The fruit of your womb is blessed. Now, how in the world did Elizabeth know that? Mary hadn't told her anything yet. The Holy Spirit revealed it to her. So the question I have for you, has the Holy Spirit revealed to you who Jesus Christ is? Not just a religious figure, not just a starter of a religion, but has he revealed to you that he's the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world, that he's the Messiah? Has the Holy Spirit revealed it to you like he did Elizabeth in this story? That's a question I ask you leading up to Christmas. Has the Holy Spirit revealed who Jesus actually is? The Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth who Jesus was. And we continue the story, verse 43. Elizabeth continues, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She declares Jesus is Lord before he's even born. Yes, he's the Savior, but he's also my Lord. Is he your Lord? Elizabeth's already declaring in Mary's womb that that is my Savior and more, that's my Lord. And she says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I also notice here Elizabeth's humility. Do you remember Elizabeth just got some pretty supernatural, incredible news about her 6 months prior? She's an old lady, and she's going to have a baby. And then it says, remember the angel's prophecy to Elizabeth about her son that's going to be born? This is what the angel said as a refresher. Your son will be great in the sight of the Lord. Whoa, no one's ever heard that before. No one's ever heard that, and Elizabeth's got to be flying on this. And in comes Mary, and Elizabeth realizes, as great as my kid is, your kid is the great one. And Jesus is trumped even by John. Jesus trumps even John the Baptist. And Jesus is the one who would save Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah and her son John, as well as Mary. She realizes, my Lord has come to me. Yes, Elizabeth, Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is also the Lord of all. And here is the first person to declare that great Christian proclamation, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and it's proclaimed by Elizabeth to someone who hasn't even been born yet. We have all the recorded scripture. Have you confessed Jesus Christ is your Lord? Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord today? Do you do what he tells you to do, or do you do what you want to do and ask him to bless you when you're in a pickle? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? That's the question on the table. Well, Jesus was the Lord to Elizabeth here in this incredible scene. And then verse 44 continues, for behold, now Elizabeth lets Mary in on the details. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, my baby leaped for joy. Mary, he didn't kick, he leaped. Mary, your son is the Messiah. Even my preborn son knows who he is. What a joyful experience is happening between these two ladies. Can you feel it? When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. That same baby, John the Baptist, was leaping for joy 30 years later when Jesus made his public ministry known. Do you remember in John chapter 3? Well, let me read it to you. When they come to John and say, hey, all these people are going to Jesus and they're leaving you. And he said, as a friend of the bridegroom, I rejoice greatly at the sound of his voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. You see, Jesus brings joy to all who obey him. Are we obeying him today, brothers and sisters? Better question. Am I obeying him today, Wayne? I can usually tell when I'm obeying him because there's inner joy. So are you obeying him today? Because Jesus brings joy to the world. Yes, the Lord has come. And our last verse we're going to look at today, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary did believe, it's true, and it says in verse 45, Elizabeth speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit said, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Yes, Mary was blessed, and I looked it up. Some of the descriptions of being blessed by the Lord, divine favor, Mary had that. Inward contentment, yes. Mary had joy, yes. Mary had well-being. It is well with my soul was written for a woman just like this who was well with her soul. She was Holy Spirit empowered, joyfully obedient, and her lot in life would be one of a blessed woman with divine favor. It was well with her soul. Was Mary blessed and highly favored like the angel and Elizabeth said? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Mary was a blessed woman and Mary was favored by the Lord. And I would close out in prayer right now, but I did a little research and followed the rest of Mary's life. And I'd like to share that with you. It's not from scripture, it's from scripture, but I don't have the passages written out. You see, Charles Spurgeon said it best. He said, the closer you are to someone, the greater potential to be hurt. Yes, Mary, you were blessed, but it wasn't an easy life. And the closer you are to someone, the greater potential to be hurt. You see, Mary knew Jesus probably more intimately than any human being here on earth. She had his Holy Spirit in her. She carried him for 9 months, and she raised him as a little baby and as a little boy, and then she followed him when he became a man. So the thing I thought about Mary is, in chapter 2, we're not going to get there today, but Mary had one other truth specifically spoken to her a few months later after Jesus was born by the same Holy Spirit
this time through Simeon, as Mary and Joseph offered their sacrifices of two young pigeons at the temple. Simeon said this in his prophecy to Mary at the temple. He said, "Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel." Kind of like that. My son's going to be the fall and rising of many in Israel. And it continued. "And for a sign that is opposed." I'm reading out of Luke 2:35. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." And here it is. "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Wait. What? A sword will pierce through my own soul also? Wait, I thought you just said I'm highly favored and I'm blessed by God. Yes. And a sword is going to pierce through my own soul? Yes, Mary. Mary, you're favored by God, but you're not going to be favored with the world. You see, the world hates Jesus. And you're blessed among women, but you're not going to be blessed by women. Your circumstances are going to say otherwise. And I just thought about this. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. And Mary had trouble in this world. Mary, it's not going to go the way you think it will go. It's not going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. Yes, you're going to follow Jesus. Yes, you've been given the greatest privilege to carry Jesus inside of you for 9 months. Yes, you are born again. Yes, you are a follower of Jesus. But it's not going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. And if you're a Christian here today, and you've been born again, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, and you're a follower of Jesus, it's not going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. And yes, you are highly favored, and yes, you are blessed by God, but your circumstances and your feelings a lot of times aren't going to line up with that reality here on earth. So I wrote down 7 things Mary had to endure or overcome or live with as she pursued Jesus. So, weary Christian today, this message is for you. Follower of Jesus who says 2024 hasn't lived up to what I hoped it would be, this message is for you. First thing I thought about Mary, the whole pregnancy thing. She's 15 years old or so, like we said, a sophomore probably, and she becomes pregnant. Bible says she could face the death penalty for being unfaithful, even though she was faithful. See, nobody knew that she was faithful. No one knew that. Joseph, the man she loved, was a righteous man. So what does the Bible say? He's going to divorce her quietly. Divorce, not a big deal. Divorce really isn't a big deal unless you've been divorced. Unless it's you that's going through the divorce. And I've had the opportunity. I've been here 17 years. I've met more people who have gone through the horrific pain of a divorce. And yeah, we can just slough it off. Yeah, he'll divorce her quietly. Yeah, unless you've been divorced or you know someone that's been divorced, it's a whole different story if it's you. So Mary had to face that. Joseph, a righteous man, is going to divorce her quietly. Her reputation's mud. Let's just call it what it is. She's scandalized. So I started thinking, what would it be like to have a bad reputation in the Bible as a woman? I needed to go no further than John chapter 4, the woman at the well. See how her life turned out. See why she's getting water in the middle of the day. She was a scandalized woman. Her reputation was mud. And this is what Mary's looking at going forward as a teenager. And I thought about, she probably just told people, hey, listen, let me tell you how it went down. The Holy Spirit came upon me. The power of the Most High overshadowed me. And an angel told me about it. His name was Gabriel. And I thought she'd probably get 3 responses. One, she's a teenager. She's on drugs. Second one, cuckoo. She's kind of lost her mind. Or 3, okay, Mary. Yeah, that's how it went down. What's his name? Angel Gabriel? Okay. And I just thought how Mary must have been gossiped and slandered her whole life for that pregnancy. And once again, I go back. Gossip, slander. What's the big deal? Have you ever been gossiped about? Have you ever been slandered? It's horrible. It's just horrible. So yes, Mary, you are favored with God and you're blessed among women, but it's not going to go down the way you think it will. Number 2, the whole birth.
the birth of Jesus. Remember, they all of a sudden the powers that be said, let's have a census right now. What? Mary had to travel nearly 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And mind you, she was 9 months pregnant when she went for that walk with her husband. And it wasn't in a car. And she was 9 months pregnant. I've met some women that are 6 months pregnant that don't want to go for a 100-mile car ride, let alone a 100-mile walk. And she had to. And I looked it up, and I got this app on my phone. We all do, the Maps app. So 100 miles would be like you leave church here today, and you're going to Oshkosh, and you're walking. So you pass through Milwaukee. It's like, okay, I'm a little tired, and stomach's killing me. Then you get to Cedarburg halfway, but now it's raining. Then you make it to Fond du Lac, and you finally arrive in Oshkosh, and you check in at the Ritz-Carlton. No, the Ritz-Carlton is full. You're going to give birth in a stable, and your kid's going to be put in a manger in a crib. We just sang about that. You know, it's not going so great, so she has to go, and she gives birth in Bethlehem. You guys remember this. Well, not too long after the birth, another angel visits and says, hey, the most powerful man on earth wants to kill your baby. You need to flee. So now she flees with a young toddler, maybe a kid in a stroller, Jesus, and she has to flee to Egypt. And I looked that up. That's another 100-mile trip. This time you're leaving the church parking lot. You're going to the Dells. You pass Brookfield. Then you get to Johnson Creek about halfway. Then you make it to Madison. You make that little turn, go north. And finally, you make it in Egypt, and you're in hiding. And the whole trip, it doesn't say you traveled. It says she was fleeing. You ever running from someone when you're scared? That's pretty terrifying. And she's fleeing. Oh, is that one of Herod's men? Is that one of the guys? Has someone told? Are they coming to kill Jesus? And you're always on red alert as you're fleeing. And what happens when you get to Egypt? You're a foreigner and you're in hiding. Yeah, life's not going so good for you, Mary. Yes, you're highly favored and you're blessed, but it's not going down the way you thought it would. Speaking of Bethlehem, Mary had to deal. I never thought about this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Mary had to deal with the mass murder of little boys in Bethlehem. And I wrote a couple things about that. It says all the male children, Herod killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region, so even the surrounding regions, who were 2 years old or younger. I'm like, what? So often when I read the Bible, I just kind of read over stuff, and I started meditating on that, how horrific that must have been. All these little babies were killed in Bethlehem and in the surrounding regions. And I thought about this. I thought Mary was hated by everyone in Bethlehem, and I thought about some of the moms and dads. You had to have your son born in our town. My little Jimmy's dead because of you and your kid. I'll never forgive you, Mary. I'll never forgive you. And I imagine Mary probably suffered false guilt, survivalist guilt. They hadn't come up with PTSD yet, but I'm sure she was suffering with all that. Yet as Bible readers, we just read Jeremiah's prophecy about what went down in Bethlehem. And it says, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentations. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Just horrific. Just horrific. And I thought, I can't sing O Little Town of Bethlehem anymore. Because I know what really went down. It's not just kind of the glitz of Christmas time, but what really went down is all those little babies were killed because Jesus was born in Bethlehem and a wicked man had all these children killed. Yes, Mary, you're going to be highly favored with God and you're blessed among women, but it's not going to go down the way you think it will. Number 4 of 7, she was a widow. At some point, Joseph appears to have died. And according to Mark 6, Jesus had 4 half-brothers and 2 half-sisters. So Mary had 7 children, and suddenly, when Joseph dies, it appears she became a single mother. And I thought, I don't know why I thought of this, but I thought about my friend Pastor Dan here and his wife Lauren. They have 4 little kids, and if Dan died today and Lauren had to raise those 4 little kids as an early 30s-year-old, how horrifically hard that would be for Lauren, our children's minister here. How horrible that would be. And that was Mary's lot. That's what happened to Mary. She was a single mom with 7 kids. And yes, Mary, you're blessed and you're favored by God, but circumstances say otherwise, and it's not going down the way you thought it would. Number 5, there was family disunity and division. Remember, Jesus was rejected by his siblings. Not even his brothers believed in him, it says in John 7:5, and in Mark 3:21, the brothers came to take him out and said, he's out of his mind.
In family, relational strife and disunity and division is just the worst. Just the worst. And then I was reminded, the angel told Mary, your son's going to be Jesus who's going to save the world from their sins. But the angel didn't come and tell the other six kids. How hard that must have been for Mary to see the family just kind of divided over who Jesus actually was. And maybe your family's divided because Jesus has been revealed to you and some people in your family don't realize who he really is yet. Well, Mary had to live with that as the mother of this family. And yes, she was blessed. And yes, she was favored by God. But it didn't go down the way she thought it would. Number six, she raised her kids in Nazareth. After Herod died, they moved from Egypt back to Nazareth. And that's where Jesus is raised. And the son, Jesus, is hated there. Jesus goes off in his earthly ministry and he's healing people. He proclaims the gospel everywhere he goes. The fame of Jesus is spreading, it says in the gospel. And then one day he says, I'm coming home to preach in my hometown. Hometown boy makes good, right? Nope. Actually, the Bible says his neighbors were filled with wrath and tried to throw him off a cliff. They tried to kill him. I thought about Mary. These are some of my friends that were part of that mob. This is some of my neighbors. We grew up a block away, and they tried to kill my boy. Yes, Mary, you're blessed by God and highly favored, but it's not going down the way you thought it would. And maybe today it's not going down the way you thought it would following Jesus. And finally, the seventh one, the last one I want to touch on. There's more, but this is what I wanted to focus on. Simeon's prophecy, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary. She lived her whole life with that one. Can you imagine if some godly man full of the Holy Spirit told you, hey, a sword's going to pierce your soul. How do you live with that? Mary lived with that. Yes, it was well with her soul, but it wasn't well with her circumstances. And I think a lot of times maybe it wasn't even well with her emotional state. And I thought this ominous prophecy about her was finally fulfilled with Jesus at the cross, where she was present watching her son tortured and ultimately die on the cross for our sin and her sin. She was there, and I think that's the prophecy being fulfilled. All those others were leading up to this horrible situation where she would see her son. A sword would pierce through his side, but a sword would pierce through her soul as well. And I thought about Mary. I thought there was times where she must have said, this isn't fair. This isn't right. This is more than I can bear, God. This can't be your plan. This can't be the way it's supposed to go. I'm favored by you. I'm blessed among women. And natural human feelings and circumstances often didn't line up with the reality of what was spoken to her. How did Mary get through it? I think if you look in Luke chapter 1, it continues. Mary continues after all this was said, meeting with Elizabeth, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Yes, everything or a lot of things went wrong for her. But two things Mary held on to her whole life is she believed that there, what does it say at the end of verse 45? Yes, Mary believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. She had to wait in faith and trust in God's promises. I wrote this down. You become what you focus on most. You focus on your problems, you're going to just be a troubled person. You focus on Jesus, the one who has promised us all great things, Christian brother and sister, he has. Even if your circumstances aren't going so hot in 2024, even if your feelings aren't lining up to the reality of what you know to be true, if you focus on him, you can overcome these, and it can be well with your soul. So she had faith in God's promises, and she had a high view of God and worshiped him accordingly. I don't know where you're at today, but will you worship God for who he is today? Not what your circumstances are telling you what is going on, but for who he is, knowing the promise that you will be blessed if you believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. God has promises for you too in the Bible. Seek him out, trust him, and bank on God being who he is. Mary did, and her circumstances and her life were super, super hard. Probably the hardest life any Christian I've ever read in Scripture, yet she trusted in the sovereign Lord. So today, if your circumstances aren't so hot, we'll cry with you. We'll pray with you. That'll happen in ABF, second hour, even after the service. You can pray with people. You have a half hour before next service. But confess that. Say, it's not going so good in my heart, even though I know everything to be true. Brother and sister, you are favored by God. He has chosen you to be his own. And you are blessed among women, and you are blessed among men, because he has chosen you to be his own, and he has deposited his Holy Spirit in you, making you new creation. Unfortunately, on this side of eternity, life is hard. So what? Jesus is Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, I confess that there's times where I know I'm favored by you, and I know I'm blessed among men. You chose me, and you set your seal upon me. Your Holy Spirit is in me. Yet, Lord, circumstances don't always line up, and my feelings sometimes lie to me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that even today, even in the next couple moments, as Brennan leads us in a song, we would sing to you and get our focus on you, for you have done great things for us, even if our circumstances don't line up. So I pray for my friends today. Bless them in Jesus' your name. Amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.